How do you spell a book? I'll teach you right now. B as in, book. And O as in OBGYN. And K as in OK. But I won't read that book about an OBGYN anytime soon.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Your Normal Books. My name is Kalen. How are you guys doing today? I am doing pretty well. Unfortunately, in a couple hours, I have to go into work, which kind of sucks for a Saturday, but, they've been having us work quite a bit of weekends. So for the entire weekend, they're giving us all double time, which is so nice. So I will make probably more money today in an 8-hour shift than I probably do in like maybe half a week. So it's nice. Right now, Xena, my dog, she is laying in her crate. It's her safe spot. She's not in trouble. She's just laying in there. I got her a new bed for it, and I think she's actually taking a nap, which is very different. I cannot wait for tomorrow, because I haven't been able to see my little brothers in a couple months due to work, and then people just not feeling the greatest, and then not really having any time and plans and other things. So I'm taking them to the zoo tomorrow, which I'm excited for. I think the last time I went to the zoo was like maybe 7-8 years ago. So it's been a good while. Last week was a whole whirlwind of things after the interview I did with Jen. I then went right over to my sister's in-law's place. My sister, her husband, and my nephew were leaving to go back to California afterwards, so I got to spend the rest of the day with them, which was nice. I still can't believe how much my nephew has grown. I really can't. It's weird to see, because the first time I saw my nephew in person, it was 6 days after he was born. And now he's 17 months. He's had two haircuts so far. He has a great big toothy smile, running around like a madman, loves dogs, loves cats, is fascinated by trucks. I think I said before, I live on a highway, so I constantly have semis that go back and forth, and him watching the semis is the funniest thing ever, because he keeps on saying big truck, big truck. I miss them, but I know that sometime next year I'm gonna spend a week out there, which I'm gonna love. But we're gonna get into something else real quick. So I'm sorry I got all sentimental on you guys, but we're actually gonna get into our book, because I mean, this book, it's a lot. So we have our book today is When Forever Changes by, I know how to pronounce his name. Jesus Christ, I just had it. Siobhan Davis. And these, I'm double checking the pronunciation because I think I'm right, but I want to make sure I'm right because I know people can be touchy about how their names are pronounced, myself included. Because it's a weird name. And people can be touchy on that and Siobhan, okay, Siobhan, which I love the spelling of it. I didn't actually know how to pronounce that name correctly until I was in my mid-20s. But we have One Forever Changes by Siobhan Davis. Because I think when I was younger, I always called it Sabayan. My bad. But Siobhan. So about Siobhan, she is a USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestselling author. She writes emotionally intense stories, complex characters, and unexpected plot twists. Before she became a full-time writer, she had a successful career in human resource management. She lives in Ireland with her husband and sons. Our characters in this are Gabby, Dylan, Slater, Ryan, Mindy, Austin, Lucy, who is Gabby's mom, Paul, who is Gabby's dad, and Heather, who is Dylan's mom. Gabby and Dylan have been dating since they were 15 and they're now 19. They're sophomores in college at UD, which I believe is the University of Delaware. Pretty sure. They have a place off campus that they live together, but Dylan starts acting different. He is more aggressive in both his moods and his sexual appetite. And he starts saying things that are mean and rude, and he starts to actually cheat on Gabby. And the only thing that and his cheating is the only thing that she has no idea about until she catches him in a lie. Gabby ends up moving in with her brother Ryan and their friend Slater, who she doesn't even know that Slater has feelings for her and he has had those feelings for years but have never said anything because of her relationship with Dylan. Now, Gabby and Dylan haven't broken up, but they are on a break. And this break is for Dylan to figure out what he wants. Gabby and Slater are working together at a club where he's a bartender and she's a waitress. It's there that she finds Dylan with another woman making out aggressively, and she ends up dropping the drinks that she's carrying, and Dylan saying that he hasn't heard anything from her and it's like making up all the excuses, but she tells Dylan that they're done. So the next day, Gabby, Ryan, and Slater go over to Dylan's place to get the rest of her things, and they find his new girlfriend over there, and she tells him that she put all of, oh, I did put, if you couldn't tell by the way I said girlfriend, I did the air quotes. So there's air quotes around new girlfriend. Sorry. But she tells him that she put all of Gabby's things in bags and that she has her stuff now in the closet. Gabby's going around the house and getting some of her things that weren't in the bags. And when she goes into the bedroom, she finds that the sheets have been messed up. So she knows what they did the night before. And it hurts. When they're leaving, Dylan has this massive migraine, so Gabby helps him out with getting him his medication. She thinks there's something wrong and she tries to tell Dylan this, but he just throws her out, doesn't want to listen to her or anything else. He does have a seizure and he's taken to the hospital. Gabby Slater and her family, and her family and also Dylan's mom is there with her, but when the girlfriend shows up, she starts making a scene, so Gabby and Slater leave. For the next few weeks, she's getting back to her old self, and she's realizing that she was doing things that revolved around Dylan and not so much herself. It's been some time, and Slater makes his move, but he runs off right after leaving Gabby in a what-the-hell-just-happened state. Gabby thinks about it and realizes, yes, that she does feel something for Slater, but now she has to decide if she's going to open her heart to him after what just happened to her. She does take the jump, and her and Slater start dating. After a couple months of dating, she tells Slater that she's pregnant, and she's scared of how he's going to react. He is so excited, and she tells him that she has an appointment the next day, and he is so excited to go to this appointment. Things are great at the beginning of the appointment, but soon everything goes downhill when she finds out that she is further along in her pregnancy than she thought. It turns out that Slate is not the father, but Dylan is. When they get back to Gabby's house, he tells her that he loves her, but he knows what it's like to grow up with no father, so he's stepping away so Dylan can be the father. Gabby goes over to Dylan's and he hears him and his mom Heather arguing. When she lets him know that she's there, Heather gets them to sit down to talk and talk about what's going on. So Dylan tells Gabby that he has an inoperable brain tumor and that he has less than a year to live. She tells him that he has to fight because she's pregnant and that he is a father. This is when Ryan, Gabby's brother, comes in and was just like getting ready to beat up Dylan because all he heard was that Gabby is pregnant and Dylan's father. But Ryan is told to sit down and they tell him everything. Over the next few months, Dylan starts showing side effects of the chemo and radiation. They also find out that they're having a boy. They're talking about names and they decide to name him after both their fathers. So their son's name will be Billy Paul Woods. A few weeks after they find out they're having a boy at a doctor's appointment, Dylan's doctor tells him that the chemo and radiation isn't working and that the best course of option is to stop the treatment. Slater had disappeared for a while. And when Ryan finally sees him, he tells him everything that's going on with Dylan, and it's heartbreaking knowing that there's a chance Dylan won't make it to see the birth of his child. Dylan actually texts Slater to come over, and when Slater does, Dylan tells him that he wants Slater to be there for Gabby when she goes into labor and also be there for her after he's gone. Slater does this, and when it's about a month before her due date, her water breaks. Slate is there for every step of the way. Dylan is able to meet his son, but 2 days later, he passes in his sleep. And Gabby's having a hard time dealing with the death of Dylan and being the mother that she feels like she needs to be. Slater tells her that he got a job in Iowa and that he wants her and Billy to move with him. But she's not in a good headspace, so when she turns Slater down, she does it in this extremely harsh way, and a week later, he's gone. 2 years go by before she sees Slater again. He ends up moving back to town because the company that he's working for has moved closer to his hometown. Gabby invites him over to her house for a Sunday night dinner with the rest of the family. It goes well, and it's also the first time he's seen Billy since he left. A few weeks later, Gabby wants to talk to Slater to see if there's a chance of them trying to get back together again. And he does want this, but he needs us to go extremely slow because it killed him the first time. And he doesn't want to take the chance of it happening again. After a couple months, they finally become intimate with one another again. There is a conversation between Slater and Gabby where he tells her like he feels like he is second best in her life. Like Dylan will always take precedence over me even though he's gone. And Gabby is trying to think of a way to show him that it's not true. And she didn't even realize Slater felt this way. They have tickets to go to a concert. And it is by one of her favorite artists. It's when she puts a plan in place. So the plan is this. So she gets a hold of the singer's girlfriend, tells her the plan. She talks to the girlfriend, talks to the singer. Everyone gets back and kind of figures out what's going to happen. And she's given the green light. So they go to the concert. After a little while, she goes up on stage and she tells the story of her and Dylan and her and Slate. Then she brings Slate up onto the stage. She then gets on her knees and asks Slate to marry her. And he says yes. They don't have a very long engagement. And the day of the wedding, her mom actually brings in a tablet. And on that is a video of Dylan. Now, he had made this a couple months before he had passed. And in it, it's telling her that he is proud of her and he knows that Slate, or that he hopes it's Slate, will always take care of her and that one day she will see him again. I will say that part, like, that. Hold on. I'll finish this real quick. Just got one more line. So on the way back, or the way to the hotel, so in the car after the reception, Gabby gives Slate his wedding gift, and it's a little booties. She is telling him that she is pregnant, and that is the end of book one. So this book is a tearjerker to the max. You start out fine. And then you get angry, and then you cry, and then you get angry again, then you cry some more, and then you cry until probably the last, like, so you probably cry until you have like a half hour left in the book, and then you're fine. And then the last 5 minutes, you are just bawling. So this entire book, you are just crying because, oh my God, like the scenes with Dylan and towards the end of his life is just, it's heartbreaking because you see, because you feel the struggle that he's going through to try to be there just to meet his son once. And then you feel for Gabby because, you know, in her head, she always had a plan for what would happen. Like, well, this is what my life's going to be. Since she was 15. Her plan was always this. I'm going to marry Dylan. We are going to have kids. We are going to live happily ever after. That was the trajectory of her life. And then the unthinkable happened. And them explaining how the brain tumor caused the where that tumor was is what caused all the personality changes in Dylan. Like, he was this extremely nice, attentive man, but then he turned into, I guess I would call it the Jekyll and Hyde, fuck, what, yeah, he one day he's fine, and the next he's a monster. I guess is like the best way I could say it. And you have to feel for Slate because for 24 hours he thought the baby was his. And then his what he was imagining in his mind is then just ripped away from him. Like, this is truly a. I've read quite a bit of Siobhan's work. And every story is heartbreaking in some way. And I think this series is it is so good. It is so powerful. It really makes you take a look at different perspectives. It makes you feel on a level that you normally don't feel in. And I would love to say that it takes a very emotional book to make me cry, which I that would be a lie. I now cry at a drop of a hat. I think old age is getting to me. But while reading this, I my own heart broke. Because the thing is, I've lost people to cancer, I have, and it sucks. And knowing that Billy is going to grow up knowing that his father did everything he could to meet him is it's wonderful, it's heartbreaking, it's something that you can't put into words. It's something that you feel on such a level that it's hard to think about. Truly is. So, before I start crying, we are gonna stop here. We will be back next week with the second and final book in this series. So, if you guys want to follow me on social media, you guys can do that on Instagram, at Twitter, at Not Your Normal Books Podcast. You can also email me at notyournormalbooks@gmail.com. You can email me or message me any book suggestions, any your takes on these book, any thoughts or feelings, any questions, anything like that. So I will see you guys all next week.